John 21. John 21. Again, let me tell you how much I appreciate your hospitality and your hard work and your labor, your generosity, your love that you've expressed to me and these others. And I'll go home and brag on you. I'll go home and brag on you. But I'm anxious to go home. Get back in my own study on Tuesday morning and go back to whatever's normal for me. But I want to bring a message this morning. I've titled Jesus Showed Himself. Look here in verse 20, chapter 21 and verse 1. John 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise he showed himself. So he showed himself. Showed himself again, it says. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we'll just go with you. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Excuse me. Then our Lord said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciple came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals and fish laid thereon in bread. And our Lord said unto them, bring of the fish which you've now caught. Simon Peter went up, drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Come and dine, the Master calleth. Come and dine. We all sing that song here? We sing that song. The Master calleth. Come and dine. He said, come and dine. That's what I say this morning. Come and dine. Come on, we'll try to set a table here this morning. You come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him again, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Now, I know that's a lot of scriptures to read, but I'm going to deal with all of them if I can. But it says that our Lord showed himself or revealed himself after this wise or in this manner. After the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the only people who ever saw him was his only disciples, only his disciples. No one else ever saw him. He had spent over 3 years on earth. Multitudes saw him. Multitudes heard him speak. Multitudes saw his miracles. And he was crucified and he rose again from the dead, and he lived on earth for 40 days before he ascended back to glory. But the only people who ever saw him after his resurrection were his disciples, and only then, when he revealed himself to them. There's not one instance in the scriptures where our Lord Jesus walked 7 miles with two men on the road, and they didn't have a clue who he was. They said, art thou a stranger in Jerusalem and you don't know what's happened? What happened? They began to tell him what happened. And he was the one that was there that it happened to.
Yes, sir.
And you know, so only disciples saw him after the Lord Jesus Christ revealed himself. And it says there in verse 14 here, it says, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he is risen from the dead. Now look over here with me in chapter 20, just a moment, in verse 11. Only disciples ever saw him in his resurrection body. And that's why our Lord says, you know, said, I'm going to go away, but you'll see me in a little while. He said, the world will never see me again, but you will. You'll see me. And it's only the Lord's people that see.
Amen.
He's the only one he reveals himself to. And if he ever reveals himself to you, he's going to reveal himself to you because you're one of his. The world ain't never going to see him. They say, I don't see it that way. Well, of course you don't see it that way. You won't see it until the Lord gives you eyes. We got these lights in here. And the gospel is a light. And if you were sitting in here and you was blind this morning, actually could not see, you wouldn't see these lights. But if God gave you eyes and done the miracle of giving you eyesight, you'd see the lights like everybody. The problem's not in the lights. The problem's in the people who don't have no eyes. And look what our master said here. Now this is where he shows himself to Mary. It says here in verse 11, Mary's at the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the grave. She's standing there crying, just tears just flowing. She stooped down and she looked into a grave. Looked into a grave. We left many a person in a grave. And they always tell you, y'all go home until we get the grave covered up. And I've covered up several graves in my lifetime, helping folks at home. We all have a grave. We have a graveyard in our community. And my wife and I already got our names on one. Got our names stuck down there. Donnie Bell and Mary Bell. This is where we're going to be when we're over here. Covered up a many of them. And here, you know, and so she's standing looking in the tomb. And she sees two angels sitting there. And one at the head, another at the feet where the body of the Lord had lain. And they said unto her, woman, why are you crying? Why are you weeping so? Oh, listen. And this causes us to weep. Because they've taken away my Lord and I don't know where they've laid him. I want Christ wherever I can get him, in whatever condition. That's what she's saying. And when she had said thus, she turned herself back and watched this. And saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. And the Lord said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Who are you looking for? She supposing him to be the gardener. Saith unto him, sir, if you've borne him hence, tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take him away. She didn't see him, Chris. Now, sometimes we weep, and our eyes get so full of tears that we can't see him either. All we see is the sorrow and the tears. But watch this. But our Lord said, Mary. Mary! Oh, bless his name. My sheep, hear my voice.
Amen.
Calls them by name, Mary. She said, I did unravel thee, oh my master. Oh, that's the way it is. We don't see him until he calls us his name. And oh, he will call his name. And oh, beloved, would you see the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Would you see God's blessed glory, God's blessed grace, God's blessed love, God's blessed wisdom, God's blessed power in the person of His Son this morning? Well, I pray that He'll do what He done for these disciples, reveal Himself to you. How was it, He says, after He showed Himself on this wise, in this way? Well, which way did He show Himself to them here in this particular chapter? Well, the time that he revealed himself to him or came to them and showed himself was after a night of failure. Look there in verse 3 of John 21. Simon Peter saith unto them, the time was after a night of failure. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. They said unto him, we'll also go with you. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And watch this. And that night they caught nothing. They caught nothing. Now, when Simon Peter said, I go a fishing, it's not like me and you say, well, let's go fishing this afternoon. It's not the same difference. No, when Simon Peter said, I'm going to go fishing, that's what he did for a living. And what he's saying, Lord Jesus, what he's saying is, I'm going to go back to my old ways. I'm going to go back to making a living. Christ is crucified. Christ is, I'm going to go back to fishing. I'm going to go back to what I did before. Is that not a failure? Then this is not like you and I. This is going back to his old ways. He wasn't living by faith. Peter takes the lead, and he always does. That was his nature. He always was speaking when he should have been listening. He's always doing when he should have been waiting. But that's just his nature. That's the way I am. You know, he was impetuous. He is always a leader. He always took the initiative. No, he was wrong a lot of times. He took the right, but he just took himself out there. And there were seven fellows went with him. So if you're ever going to turn around, you're not going to turn around by yourself. People ain't got sense enough to go back fishing by themselves. They always got to take a bunch with them. But that's what Simon Peter, seven went with him. And our Lord called these men to be fishers of men. But they give in to the reasoning of natures. And that's what these fellows said. Well, we'll just go with you. We'll just go with you. We ain't got nothing else to do. You know, we ain't going to go preaching tomorrow. We're not going to do anything spiritual. We're not going to go to the synagogue. We're not going to... No, we'll just go fishing. We're going back to making a living. And that night they went laboring. And I'll tell you something. When you're in the night, you got to labor at dark. We're children of light. We're not children of the darkness. And these fellows are acting like men of nature instead of those that God had called. And here, beloved, and our Lord didn't appear to them during the night. He left them there. You want to do things in the dark? You want to do things in the night? You want to do things by yourself? You think you want to go back to the old way? You want to go back to leaning to your own understanding? He said, have at it. And he left them to themselves. And what does it say? They caught nothing. Huh? They had to learn by experience what our Lord had already told them, that without me, you can do nothing.
Amen.
Without me, you absolutely can do zip, zero, not another. It's not without me you can do 99%. It's not without me you can try. It's not without me I'll help you. He didn't say, without me I'll give you a shove in the right direction. He said, without me you can do nothing.
Amen.
You all know what nothing is? I'm going to show you what nothing is. I'm going to give you a little illustration. Can y'all see that? What is that? What's your... Is there any value to them? Now, is there any value to them? That's all of us until Christ. Room full of zeros. Christ's the only one that puts any value to us. Ain't that right? And that's what he says. Without me, you can do nothing. You say, I'm not a zero. And you don't have Christ either. He always saves nobody. And oh, that's what he says. Without me, you can do nothing. Without him, everything is a failure. It's bound to fail. It's already failed. Oh, beloved, don't attempt a moment without our blessed Redeemer. You know, we sing that song, I need thee, precious Jesus, I need thee every hour I need you. Well, an old fellow in our congregation, he's gone now. And beloved, he'd always say, a moment, I don't need just a moment or every hour, I need you every moment, every minute of every day, I need you, I got to have you. And don't attempt a moment without him. Oh, we need him. And how many who are going to think their life has been a success? They'll point to what they've accomplished. They'll point to what they've done. They'll point to where they've been. They'll point to their bank accounts. They'll point to their houses. And they'll point to their cars. And they'll point to the success of their children. And then it's all said and done. They'll be a failure. A failure. Oh. But, look, all big doors hang on little hinges. Look here in verse 4. But, he thought you said, Milton, but, when everything was a failure, when they caught nothing, when everybody had followed, oh, impulsive, Simon Peter, the morning was now come. Let me tell you something. Whenever Christ comes, it's always the morning. Darkness may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And beloved, our Lord, look what it says. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Huh? He was in the sense of, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. He was there, but his disciples didn't know who it was. What a sad, sad state of heart not to recognize the Master. What a sad state of heart. Do you ever get afraid, get frightened, you know, when you go to a few services and you don't feel the Lord's presence? Oh, you don't feel His presence. You don't get affected by the preaching. Oh. And look over here in John 20:19. Look what it says. Oh, He was on the shore. The morning was now come. Everything was a failure. They caught nothing. And look what it says. Here's the way these fellows were. In verse 19 of John 20. Then the same day, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the disciples were shut, doors were shut where the disciples were assembled. What's this? For what reason did they have the doors shut? For what reason were they all gathered together? They didn't gather together to talk about Christ. They didn't gather together to preach and didn't pray or exhort one another. They gathered together, assembled for fear of the Jews. For fear of the Jews. And that's why these fellows were here they was. That our Lord Jesus Christ, when they had failed miserably, when you and I have failed miserably, He always brings the morning with Him. Mary, when her heart was immersed in sorrow, when she is occupied with death, she didn't recognize the Savior. And these men returned to their worldly calling, occupied with their bodily needs, their physical needs, and they didn't recognize the Savior. But here's the manner in which He showed Himself on this wise. And you know, our Lord, let me tell you something. Like I said the other night, our Lord Jesus Christ always makes Himself known in a way that you cannot doubt for a second that's not Him. If He makes Himself known and He reveals Himself, you cannot doubt for a second that it's not Him. You cannot doubt for a minute that He's not the one talking, that He's not the one doing it. And He showed Himself on this wise. And all beloved, the first thing He does is He leads them to confess their failure. He says in verse 5, then He saith unto them, children, have you got any meat? No, we ain't got nothing. They got their meat. We ain't got. No, no, we ain't got anything. Oh, we've taken nothing. You reckon our Lord didn't know that? Oh, we've taken nothing. We failed. He knew they had taken nothing. He knew they had failed. And oh, beloved, our Lord Jesus said, Adam, where art thou? When Adam fell in the garden, went over, and this is how depraved human nature is. This is how depraved, how blind, how desperately wicked men's heart are. And that if God don't come to where you are, you'll stay there. Adam actually thought he could cover his nakedness with a fig leaf and could hide himself from God in a bush. And oh man, if people actually think they can hide from God. But let me tell you the safest place to hide from God. And I've said this many. If you want to hide from God, buy you a Bible, get a cross hanging around your neck, and go join a Baptist church someplace where they don't know God, don't know Christ, and God will never bother you. That's the truth. If you want to be confronted with Christ, you go someplace where they're preaching the gospel. And oh Adam, where art thou? Now God doesn't ask questions for information. God does not ask questions because He wants to know something. No, He don't need, you know, He knows everything. He asks questions for us so we'll know the answer. Adam, where are you? Adam said, I'm hid. I'm over here. I'm afraid of you. I'm ashamed. And that's why He says to these fellows, have you taken anything? He's going to cause you to confess that without Him, you're nothing. Without Him, you can do nothing. And they're going to confess it. And beloved, and the reason He asks questions is to reveal things to our own hearts. And there was no use for these fellows to pretend. And well, we just had a bad night. We didn't use the right bait. We went to the wrong fishing hole. No, there was no use pretending they had something. And beware, beloved, beware of misrepresenting and exaggeration. And oh, beware of doing that. Oh, that's why our Lord said, they said, oh, have you taken anything? No, we ain't caught nothing. And beloved, without Him, we will have nothing, catch nothing, do nothing. And those disciples in the sea, they're like you and I in this world. Nothing. Can do nothing. Christ is on the shore. He's like Christ in glory. And blessed be His name. While we're here, He's there, and He still yet speaks to us and still makes Himself known to us. Then not only did He make them confess their failure. Can you confess your failures this morning? Can you confess, really confess that you're nothing? Can you do that? Watch what happens now. Then he said unto him, he tries their faith. Cast your net on the right side of the ship and you shall find. Oh my. Isn't this the sovereign of the sea? Here they don't know who this is. Cast your net on the right side. Cast your net on wherever the Lord tells you to cast your net. It's always going to be the right side. Isn't this the God man who knows all, sees all, and has all power? Cast your net on the right, not on the back, not in the front. Don't move your boat. Say right where you are and just do what I tell you. Oh, my. And this is the only miracle recorded after our Lord's resurrection. And you see, these men had fished all their lives. They toiled all night and caught nothing. But they heard a voice. A voice of certainty. A voice of authority. A voice with power. Cast your net over on the right side. Watch what happens. And now, they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Oh my soul. Oh, caught nothing, and now they can't carry all that they've caught. Hey God, doesn't the Lord always do exceedingly abundantly what we can think or ask? I can think awful big, but He gives me bigger than what I can think. I can ask for an awful lot, but He always gives me more than what I ask for. Always has. No wonder, beloved, He creates a world out of nothing, and He can cause fish to be where there ain't no fish. He can cause people to catch something, and He brings something out of nothing here. These fellows had nothing, and now they got something. Huh? And they obeyed His word. And the result is, look what happens. When they obeyed His word, look what happens. Therefore, in verse 7, it says, after they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish, they cast therefore, done what He said. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus, every time you hear John's name mentioned, it's always that way, that disciple whom Jesus loved, saith unto Peter, watch this, it's the Lord! Now they know. Ain't nobody else could do this. Nobody else could tell us to cast the net on the right side. We fished all night, taking nothing. Now, this is the Lord. Who else could do this? Who else could cause this to happen? This is the Lord. This can only be our blessed Master. He's the only one who can take our failure and turn it around. He takes the weak to confound the mighty. Here's these men in all their weakness. You know, when Simon Peter denied the Lord 3 times, and people say, how in the world can that be? Listen, here's a man in all of his weakness. You're going to make him an apostle? You're going to use him to open the doors to the Jews and the doors to the Gentiles? You're going to give him the keys? You're going to say he's the rock? And he denied you 3 times. He said, I'll take the weak to confound the mighty. No, he takes the foolish to confound the wise. Here are these fellows, these are ignorant and unlearned fishermen. They don't know nothing. They ain't been to school. They ain't been to seminary. They ain't been to Bible college. They don't know very little. He said, oh, I'll take the foolish and I'll confound the wise. Huh? And when we fail miserably, absolutely miserably, that's when the Lord Jesus will show Himself. This sinner, you're just like this. You're just like this. You're just like these fellows out on the sea. You're laboring for nothing. You're laboring for naught. You're laboring for nothing. Look what it said here in John 20, verse 20, 30, excuse me. John 20, 30. Believe Him. Believe His Word. John 20 and verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, watch this, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through His name. And oh my, that's quit laboring for nothing. Just rest, just stop. Lay back and repose your soul. Now watch what happens now. They said, it's the Lord. There in verse 7 down the book. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, John said, it's the Lord. Simon Peter said, what? He's out there fishing. He's naked. He's naked. Grabbed his coat around him. And this is the same one who denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. And he couldn't wait for the boats to get to land. I'm going to get to my master. If that's the Lord, I'm getting there just as quick as I can. He threw his coat around him, and away he went. He couldn't wait for the rest of them fellas.
Yes, sir.
Oh, listen, that's way, you know, no matter what we do, we as believers, no matter what we do, how bad we fail, how weak we become, we can do nothing, and we always do this. We keep coming to our Master.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen. We came when we were lost, and we came when we needed Him. We came as helpless, hopeless sinners, and we come now to whom coming? We're constantly coming to Christ.
Amen.
And all He jumped in. He went fishing. He says, you fellas take care of the fish. I'm going to the Lord. You fellas, you all bring them fish in. I don't care about fish anymore. Fish the last thing on my mind. I want to get to my master. Oh my. He's like that Samaritan woman. When she realized it was the Lord Jesus, she threw her water pot away and she said, run into town, said, come see a man that told me all things ever I did. You'll leave the fish and the water pots. And oh, look what he does now. And they came in, you know, and they got up there and looked down verse 9. He's going to reveal Himself as the one who provides for them and sustains them and keeps them. Makes them fruitful. You know, He makes you fruitful. Them fellas can't catch nothing. He's the only one to make you fruitful. And look what it says there in verse 9. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire coals there on. You reckon our Lord had some matches with Him? There's a fire there. And there's fish there. And there's bread there. Now our Lord's not a fisherman. Our Lord's not a beggar and a baker. But there's a fire and there's fish and there's bread. How in the world did that happen? Where did that come from? Where the fish and the bread and the fire? All he's got to do is cast your net on the right side and they got more fishing than what to do with it. He come walking in the water in the middle of the night. He told the storm to peace be still. He told the dead man, I say unto thee, yea, I say unto thee, live. He told Zacchaeus to come out of a tree, and Zacchaeus skinned his elbows coming out of that tree. That's what I'm telling you. When our Lord Jesus Christ, He gives us food when we don't know anything and done nothing but failed. When we get there, the fire's already there. The food's there. The bread's there. And the same thing He fed the multitude with is the same thing He fed them with. Bread and fish. Oh, He knew they were hungry. He knew they were cold. And He's the shepherd of the sheep. He said, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. You cold? I got a fire. You're hungry? I got some food. You're naked? I'll clothe you. Oh, my. Oh, He's the shepherd of the sheep. He's watching out for them. Then look what He has. He has fellowship with them. In verse 12, it says this. Jesus saith unto him, come and dine.
Amen.
Come and dine. And watch this now. I want you to see this. And none of them, the disciples, durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now watch this. Jesus then cometh. And he takes the bread. And he gives it to them. He don't say, help yourself. He don't say, sit down here and help yourself. No, he took the bread and he gave it to them. And then what does it say? And then he took the fish and he gave it to them. He didn't say, take it for yourself. He gave it to them.
Yes, sir.
And that's the way everything we get, he's going to have to take and give it to us. He's going to have to take and give it to us. Huh? And all, beloved, they didn't ask who else could act this way, would act this way. Who else would fill our nets? Who else would feed us when we're hungry? And our Lord has a way of giving that makes himself known. The law demands, but grace gives. And he gives it to him. And then let me show you this lastly, down in verse 20. And when he reveals himself, the only thing that matters after that is his will's to be done, and he's to be followed alone. Now, you know our Lord asked Simon Peter, Do you love me? And you know the story where he asked him three times. Told him how he's going to die. Then they're sitting around and they're doing... And Jesus, John, whom Jesus loved, was talking to the Master. Was leaning on his breast, sitting there talking with him. Then Peter turned about, seeth that disciple whom Jesus loved following, which leaned down on his breast. The serpent said, Lord, which is he that betrays thee? They wanted to know which one of them betrayed him and caused him to be crucified. It came out, they caused him to come out and get him that night in Gethsemane. And Peter seeing him, and John's the one that asked him, Lord, who is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, And Lord, what shall this man do? This man that betrayed you, what shall he do? What's going to become of him? Look what our Lord saith. Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what business of that to yours? What's that to you? Follow me. And no, whatever I will, that's all that matters. The only thing that matters to you is to follow me. Huh? Oh my, what God's going to do with somebody else is none of our business. What's he going to do with me? Huh? That's the only thing that matters. Follow me, Peter. Don't worry about that fellow that betrayed me. Don't you betray me. Then with this saying abroad among the brethren, that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus did not say unto him, He'll die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what's that to you? And that's what we concern ourselves with so many times. What somebody else is going to do. What God's going to do to somebody else. It don't make any difference. Follow him. Everybody else go fishing, you follow him. You keep your eyes on him. Who else are you going to look to? And let me ask you, have you caught anything in life? Or is your life a failure? Are you really a failure? I know that there's a lot of you all here that you confess faith in Christ. And I know that no doubt many of you are believers. But can you say that Christ is all I need? Christ is all I want. Christ is all I desire. Everything else is nothing compared to that.
Yes.
Can you say that in your heart? God help you to do it. Thank you, preacher.